Let me ask you first, and I'm assuming that you listened to the conference calls with both Lywicki and Colangelo. What jumped out at you the most after you hung up the phone?
There's no doubt that Tim Lywicki has got the bat and ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, that this is going to be a situation now in Toronto where he's going to have a lot to say about the vision and direction, not only of the Toronto Raptors, but the Leafs, Toronto FC, and the look and feel and vibe of what MLSC is all about. And, you know, I think, you know, 7 years ago, there was a lot of questions about Richard Petty and kind of his influence and how he was going about it with John Ferguson Jr. and Rob Babcock. And I think there was a decision then that, hey, we're going to have GMs that are going to have the bat and ball, and that's Brian Burke and Brian Colangelo. And now both of those guys are no longer here in a span of 9 months or even shorter than that. And, you know, the style of leadership and the style of management now with the Bell and Rogers groups, along with Larry Tannenbaum, I think there's a little bit of a shift here. And I think you're going to have more of a tier in place where you're going to have a president, CEO of the company, and then you're going to have a few different basketball people kind of overseeing how this whole thing works itself out. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not surprising. I don't think any of us is surprised that Brian was removed. And at the same time, I think, you know, he gave it his best shot, 7+ years. You know, and anyone who's coached or been an executive in sports, you're going to have moments in your life where you get knocked down. And I fully believe, based upon knowing Brian, that in spite of the fact that he still has a job with MLSC, there's no doubt in my mind that a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever that time be, you will see Brian resurface once again as a GM in another city in the NBA.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and he tried to play that down a little bit, but putting Colangelo in a corporate role right after hiring the super exec and no doubt the not cheap Tim Lywicki seems a tad off to you too, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, on the other hand, his standpoint, and I think you'd agree with me, Tim.
Yeah.
Getting a job is a lot easier when you have one than when you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're Brian Colangelo and you're at home right now and you have no title, no job, it doesn't come off as well. And
right.
I think for him, and you consider the connections here, and it's very easy to connect the dots. And you know, you look at a guy like Tim Lywicki coming in, there was definitely influence from the NBA office, David Stern. Well, who's very close to David Stern? Jerry Colangelo. Why? I mean, there's a connection from when Jerry was the owner of the Phoenix Suns and their relationship, owner, commissioner. USA Basketball now, Jerry and David have a great relationship. And I think that they wanted to make sure that Brian was dealt with in a very respectful way. And, you know, Brian's very well thought of and respected by not only Larry Tannenbaum and Dale Lastman, but the folks at Rogers and Bell. And he's been a good soldier. Now, again, at the end of the day, we're all judged by our record, right, wrong, or indifferent, but that's the way it is, and we're all big boys. But I think they look at it and they say, this is a guy who's been good in the community, he's been a good man, he's been a good corporate soldier, and we're going to give him a soft landing spot and an opportunity to still be part of the organization because they view him as an asset. And at the same time, he loves Toronto. I mean, he absolutely has a tremendous amount of respect for the market, he and his family. And I think this gives him an opportunity to still be in a city that he loves, with an organization that he loves. I think they feel the same way about him. I think they look and say, well, it didn't work out on the basketball side like we like. And therefore, it's a soft landing, and it's an opportunity for him to be part of the organization. Maybe it's for 6-8 months. Maybe it's for 6-8 years. I have no idea. But there's no doubt, again, in my mind, that a year, 2 years from now, that Brian will be a GM in another city. I think he's more than qualified. And there's so many other guys in this league that have failed miserably that have gotten other opportunities.
Yeah.
You see it in coaching. You see it with executives. And you look at his overall body of work in Phoenix and Toronto, there's no doubt in my mind he'll get another chance.
I'm with you on this one. I don't know how long this role lasts, Jack, but I'm with you on it. I think that we see him resurface as a GM with another NBA franchise pretty soon. Jack Armstrong, NBA insider and the coach, joining us here on Tim and Sid Without Sixero. Let me ask you, is Masai Ujiri your odds-on favorite to replace Colangelo?
I tell you what, I'd love to be in his position right now because he's got the big L. He's got leverage. And rightfully so. He's earned it. He's done a masterful job in Denver, above and beyond the Carmelo deal. You look at some of the other things that he did. He clearly is a good basketball man. I really like him. He's a guy that there's no doubt in my mind that if he were to come to Toronto, he would be an outstanding choice. If he doesn't, he's going to get a wonderful payday in Denver, deservedly so. And Stan Kroenke, the owner in Denver, doesn't have a stellar reputation as a guy that pays. You know, as much as he's one of the wealthiest guys in North America, you know, he's going to have to. You know, Masai is in a very good position right now, and good for him. And I think he would be a terrific choice if they end up going that way. I know he's very, very well thought of by everyone in town. And would be a good choice. Now, if that doesn't happen, then you can go a lot of different ways. If you want to stay internal, Ed Stefanski is a guy that, again, is very well thought of, not only in Toronto, but in NBA circles. And, again, you know, there were mixed results in Philadelphia and New Jersey. But, you know, you have a guy that's familiar with the organization. There's not going to be a big learning curve. And he has an understanding, an intimate understanding, of what the pros and cons are right off the bat, and you can hit the ground running. And then obviously you can go the other route and just say, okay, who else is out there on the landscape? And there have been some names mentioned. There are probably some other names that haven't been yet that will be. But I think it's a fascinating time. The one thing I will say, I think you'd agree with me on this. I'm not a fan of search firms, and I think. If you know the sport and you know all the actors in the play, this isn't that hard to do. Right. You know the people and what their pros and cons are. And a search firm, I understand they vet certain things and they want to make sure you want to cover your base from a corporate perspective. But at the end of the day, we all know who the good basketball men are. And, you know, this isn't that complicated. And there's probably a handful of guys that you can look at. And you just got to base it upon your true basketball instincts and people instincts rather than what some corporate headhunter recommends.
Yeah, I don't like search firms unless they're looking for me, Jack.
Well, you know, here's the thing with search firms. They'll hire you, and then if you're in a position of power, you'll hire them to help you with the search. And then maybe when you're looking again, they'll help you because you help them. I mean, so and believe me, I have a lot of coaching friends and athletic director friends and executives in pro sports, and that's how the game's being played now. But at the end of the day, Sports Illustrated did a great feature on it recently, and I just laugh. You know, it's funny, like in college athletics right now, you have a lot of athletic directors that have no sports background. So who are they relying on? They're relying on search firms.
Right.
But wait a minute. You're the athletic director. You're supposed to know your business. This is why we have you here. So I think at the end of the day, they'll come up with a great guy. They have a few names that I think if they get any of those guys, they'll do just fine.
One of the things that I got from the Tim and Citizens, from Raptor fans, is this idea that Ed Stefanski might be the leading candidate because of the way that Brian Burke was disposed of in this city and Dave Nonis took over. But judging from what we've heard from Tim Lewicki, this is a different dog and pony show now under him.
Well, here's the difference, too. It's timing. Yeah. If this happened next October, then Ed Stefanski's in the Dave Nonis role. When you have time to breathe and take a big step back and look at the big picture, then it doesn't help Ed as much. And I think, honestly, if this happened to Brian Burke today, I think Dave Nonis would have a much more difficult time getting the Leafs job. And again, timing's everything in life. And, you know, there's no doubt that Ed is a qualified guy, and if he gets it, we'll do a fine job. And if he doesn't get it, I think as much as anything else, he'll be a victim of circumstance and timing and the fact that, you know, you have someone new in place that wants to put his own personal stamp on things, as well as the fact that wants to provide a different vision, look, philosophy than was here currently. And if he didn't feel that was a problem, he wouldn't have made the change in the first place.
Let me ask you one question before I let you go, and that is, if Masai Ujiri isn't having his contract run out at the end of this year, is Brian Colangelo still the GM?
I don't think this decision was made because they felt like they needed to clear the deck and provide Masai Ujiri the opportunity to come in and for it to be his entire show. I think there are other candidates out there that they probably feel pretty strongly about as well. But I don't think that would have been the case.
Okay.
I don't think there is a connection there between the two. I just think it's a matter of timing is everything. And for Masai right now, it's great timing. And I just think they have to go out and get the best guy. Now, do I think he would be a great choice? Definitely, if they can get him. But the key is going to be, you know, what Kroenke wants. And here's the other dynamic that people aren't thinking a lot about yet, even with a guy like Masai Ujiri. Even though he has a great relationship with Brian Colangelo and Wayne Embry and folks in the organization,
he worked under them.
What is the impact on Dwayne Casey? And at the same time, you know, George Call, his coach in Denver, who was Dwayne Casey an assistant for in Seattle?
Yeah.
George Call. You know, so there's a lot of connections there that might be favorable for Dwayne staying on board if, in fact, that were to happen. At the same time, he might just want to come in and say, look, this is my chance. I got to come in and make this thing work, and I got to make a change because that's one of the major signature decisions you have to make. And you know, so again, there's so many other factors in play here above and beyond the executive. I think Dwayne Casey still sits and waits to find out what direction happens for him and his staff.